It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Hello. Well, morning. Is it a good morning? Just morning.
It's just a morning.
It's just there. Hello, everyone. It's the morning.
It is.
It is December 23rd. It is our final show of the year. And here's the deal, man. I'm pissed. I was really looking forward to today. We have Christmas gifts all over the studio.
That's right.
You pulled up with just boxes. Santa Ham was here today. We have Christmas gifts all over the studio. I had all sorts of fun bit ideas, yet we got booze everywhere. There is so much booze in the studio.
Kyle got me the biggest bottle of Kraken I've ever seen.
It's incredible. He's a boatsman. We had to get him some Kraken rum.
It will be Kraken, just so you know.
It will be.
Yeah. I might have to Kraken into that thing sooner than rather than later.
Kraken, like the foundations of the Sacramento Kings.
That's right.
And that's what's grinding my gears today. I was so ready to have a fun show. We're going to do Christmas music to open. We're going to have a great time. Hey, we're going to talk Christmas movies, and we're going to do this and that. Had a whole thing. Scrapped it all. Because I watched the 49ers play football yesterday in Miami. Air quotes, play football. And was disgusted. It just, blech. And I shouldn't be surprised because they were just the team they've been all year. Penalties, turnovers, in inopportune spots, not converting in the red zone, missed field goals, just the gamut. And they lose 29-17. But I thought, okay, last time I checked in on the Kings, they were hanging in there. I'm expecting them to pull away from the Pacers. And I look and the Pacers are up like 5. I'm like, oh, that's okay. So I lock in and I'm like, all right, I think the Kings are going to pull away in this one.
Okay.
And then the opposite happened. They just face planted.
They just lay down, Kyle.
And the difference is what you just said. I feel like the 49ers, their issues, the disappointment I feel about the 49ers is micro to this year. I have optimism about them moving forward. With the Kings, this is why I didn't want to say that the Lakers' loss on Thursday night was rock bottom, because this feels like it today.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the razor's edge. Like, something bad's going to happen. Like, that's what it feels like. That's what I'm hearing. Like, there's enough here that you're like, okay, like, you do not have a team walk into a game that is so meaningful. You're trying to snap a 3-game losing streak. You're mm-hmm. trying to get right on home at home. You have an entire packed house full of people.
Yep.
Everyone paid extra premium dollars to be there for a Sunday afternoon game mm-hmm. the week of Christmas. Like,
probably some people's Christmas present.
Well, yes, yes. And Kyle, you know what you can't do? You can't check out in the second half. You can't go into the halftime tied at 52 and then flat out check out and play like a bunch of losers. That's what they played like last night. There's no other, like, I watched a team quit last night. And
that's
they
exactly what happened.
Maybe they quit on their coach. Maybe they quit on each other, but you know who they really quit on? They quit on the 17,852 fans or whatever it is that showed up to the building.
Yep.
Because everybody saw it.
Yep.
You know, it's like when you're watching your kid play a sport and you're like, hey, you're not running fast enough. And you're like, yo, no, I'm giving it all I've got. I'm like, you do realize that I'm standing in the stands and can watch you and you're not actually moving fast enough. I can see, I know how fast you can go and I can see that you're not doing it. That's what it was like. It was such a disappointment to watch a team walk in and flat out quit and quit on everybody.
That's it.
Like, you miss shots, whatever. Yeah, like, whatever happens, that's fine. But to lose a game by that much,
yep,
that's just like, click, we're out, we're done.
And it's not like, and I don't want, the Kings aren't good enough to say, well, they should have blown this opponent out. I can't. But they're certainly good enough to hang with the Pacers.
Yeah.
Can you stick with them a little? I didn't think, that's the thing is, I didn't think Indiana was doing anything outrageous yesterday. It wasn't like, oh man, you're just not going to overcome the Pacers when they play like this. Like you said, they were a step slow. They looked disinterested. They looked like they took a minor punch in the mouth and went, all right, we're done.
Yeah, we're good.
And to me, this is the first time for me. God, they went 15 of 48 from the field in the second half. 10 assists, 6 turnovers.
Yeah, and I'm looking good at this bench of Indiana. 4 of 8, 6 of 11, 5 of 5, 4 of 8, 2 of 2, 3 of 4. What did their bench shoot? Like 70%?
Yeah.
Like what? What in the world?
This was the first time that I felt like whatever the coaching staff is espousing is not hitting. And that's why last night was so worrying, because this isn't just like, oh yeah, hey, another loss. It felt deeper than that. It felt bigger than that. Yeah. And I have a really hard time getting past that feeling of, oh, I've watched this before,
mm-hmm,
with the Kings.
Or at least with some of the players from this group. Like, you've watched it. Like, I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've seen this play out countless times. Again, Mike Brown is a ninth head coach I've covered in 15 years.
That's a ridiculous number.
He was the ninth head coach I covered through 12 years. Like, it's crazy.
That is outrageous.
How many head coaches that they go through, and you always get to this point. Like, I remember with Luke Walton, they kept saying again and again, no, we don't want anyone getting let go. We like Luke. We don't want him going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then why did you just get, like, stomped by 38 points or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Like, there's one thing to say it. It's mm-hmm. another thing to actually show it.
That, yes.
And what we saw last night was a team that had no fight. Like, that isn't even a physical team. And they just punched you in the face and kept punching you. It was like, that's not a heavyweight fight right there.
Nope.
That's a banterweight fight. And you just couldn't get off the mat.
Yep.
Just absolutely stunning to watch a team just disappear, go away, and, it's tough. It's tough.
I cannot get over the fact that we time and time again talk about energy, talk about intensity, and Keon Ellis gets 4 minutes and 51 seconds of garbage time alongside Jordan McLaughlin, Colby Jones, Isaac Jones, and Orlando Robinson.
Yeah.
I get there might be mistakes and execution problems and this and that, but it sure as hell better than 18 minutes of Doug McDermott. You have Doug McDermott out there to go 1 of 4 from three and get dogged on defense?
Yeah, Mike.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so I get the, like, focusing on, like, the micro, like,
yeah,
like,
oh, yeah,
come on,
I'm
man.
Zooming,
like,
in now.
Why is Keon Ellis not playing in this game? I totally get it. I totally get it. And I'm not going to defend that decision, like, that, you know, whatever. Mike made a decision to go with a veteran player. He went with three veteran players off the bench on the second night of a back-to-back. And, two of those players had barely played at all,
mm-hmm,
and Trey Lyles and Doug McDermott. I don't understand that. And the other thing I don't understand is when Doug McDermott walked out on the court and didn't hit his first two shots, or two out of three, or two out of five, that's when, you know, Mike typically just pulls the rug and says, hey, we're done.
Yep.
We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And he didn't go to Keon. And I was as surprised as anyone. The way that the Pacers play isn't a bunch of one-on-one offensive. You know, they're moving the ball really well. Everyone is passing the ball. It's popping all over the place. Tyrese Halliburton throwing lollipop passes to the corner. All that stuff. So mm-hmm. It doesn't usually lend itself to, like, hey, I need a great individual defender to stop this guy. Except for, little dude, McConnell.
TJ McConnell? Yeah,
TJ McConnell. Like, that's the one guy that, like, typically roasts the Kings. Mm-hmm. I was still surprised. I was surprised that he went away from Keon and that he didn't go to Keon when things were going bad. At the same time, like, you need offensive players. You need guys who are a threat. I get that, but it wasn't working and you should have gone away from it.
Yeah. And I don't, and that's where, like, this is where it's more than one problem to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this. I mean, frankly, we've been talking about it for like a week and a half. But it's why I can't sit there and go, you know what? If they change the coach, this is going to be a winning team. Because I don't think there's a mix and match rotation that you can make that you feel really good about. And I also don't, I'm also not 100% confident that that was, it's, correct me if I'm wrong here. Are lineups and rotations 100% Mike Brown's decision?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, there might be some changes that have to, you know, that, I think there had to have been like a group decision when it came to moving Malik Monk into the starting lineup.
Sure, sure. But he's not getting a call from Monty McNair or Wes Wilcox or whoever like, hey, Doug McDermott needs to play.
No, not that I can possibly think of. And even when it comes to Malik, I'll just tell you, like Mike has held him forever. For 2 years, he kept him as a six man, two years and 20 games, whatever it was. The entire time, you can see that the front office and the coaching staff were aligned because when they were negotiating the contract, they did not put that as a stipulation. Malik Monk wasn't promised that he would be the starting shooting guard when he re-signed with the Kings.
Right.
That means that, because Mike Brown has nothing to do with that.
Right.
It means that they were at least on the same page as an organization when it came to that decision.
Here's what worries me. And this goes beyond last night. I'm zooming back out. I'm getting away from the Keon Ellis thing. What worries me is that when we say there's more than one problem here, that the logical step is tear it down. And that's why I didn't want to go to rock bottom after the Lakers loss, but then there was a second Lakers loss, and now there's a Pacers loss. And now the Kings, after going 7-8 through their first 15 games, and we were going, hey, that's not great, but here, look how soft their next 15 games are. And they went 6-10? No, that's not right. 6-9. Not nice.
No.
They were worse against a softer version of their schedule.
Oh, yeah. This is a disaster.
And it all comes back to, we can talk about Mike Brown and is the locker room listening to him and this and that. But it also comes back to, we talk about the Keon Ellis thing. The fact that that's their one move, like that's the rotation thing we talk about, is whether Keon Ellis played or not. Like, I'm sorry, maybe he helps last night, maybe he doesn't. I don't think if Keon Ellis plays 18 minutes instead of Doug McDermott, the Kings were winning that game. There's a deeper issue.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is we can talk about that and go, oh, why this and that. The roster is not good enough. Again, still. And so we can point to the coaching and we can go, man, they look like they quit last night.
Yep.
That's on the coaching staff. Oh, man, Keon Ellis should have played last night. That's on the coaching staff. Oh, Jay Crowder should be playing more. Okay, that's fine. But listen to that. This is not Tari Eason should be playing more. This is not like high quality rotation players we're talking about.
Yes.
And that's where, to me, if we're trying to play the blame game and we're pointing the finger at, let's just we're giving the biggest piece of the pie, because again, I don't think you can point to one thing necessarily. I think the biggest piece of the pie goes to whatever the heck's happening in the front office that has left the Kings roster woefully short for a third consecutive year.
Well, I totally agree, and I'll just point out, like, look, Keon Ellis played the night before. He played 14 minutes the day before. He gave you 5 points. The game before that, the other game against the Lakers, played 21 minutes. He gave you 5 points.
Yeah.
Like, the idea, if you're going to get into a shootout with a very, very good offensive team in the Pacers.
Sure.
The idea, I think, that Mike was relying on was that he was going to have scores. That he needed as many scores on deck as possible. Now, again, that's his own deal. Like, we asked Mike about... it was asked during the post-game scrum about why not Keon, like about the decision. And he just said, look, I chose to go with these two guys and, well, these three guys, and I was going to, like, there was not minutes for someone else. And then, you know, specifically Isaac and Keon. And you can say, but, you know, you got to play those guys. And it's like, okay, yeah, but you've also lost four in a row.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, is he's trying.
He's trying something different.
Yeah, and it's like, it's to me, it's akin to, he goes into a Formula One race with like a Mustang. And yeah, that Mustang on the regular road is going to be fast. Like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It is going to get torched by Formula One cars. And by talking about Keon Ellis and Doug McDermott, to me, we're talking about like, oh man, he took turn six too wide.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they were going to get smoked anyway. Like, there's just, they don't have the horsepower. And so I respect that, yeah, hey, you know what? Going to try this. It's a different team, so we're going to try a different rotation, and we're going to adjust our game plan based on the team. That's good. That's what an NBA coach should do, because I think NBA coaches who fall into a rotation mm-hmm. and say, this is the rotation no matter what, unless they're the Boston Celtics, I think that's doing it wrong.
No,
so I respect what he's trying to do. It's just Keon Ellis and Doug McDermott, like that's the choices. Isaac Jones, that's the choice.
An undrafted rookie free agent undrafted player.
And again, on a
two-way contract.
And again, this is not an anti-Isaac Jones thing.
I love him.
I think he can play. I think he'd be a rotation player in the NBA. A, he's not there yet. But B, if the Kings going into this year were like, yeah, hey, they might be a play-in team. They're kind of, yeah, maybe he plays more. But unfortunately, they have the burden of expectation now.
Yep.
And Mike Brown cannot, as the coach, go, all right, hey, you know what? Caution to the wind. We're out of it right now. So, hey, here's Isaac Jones. Here's 15 minutes. Keon, you're just playing 25 minutes a night no matter what. And this is just what it's going to be. We're going to get... Because Mike Brown, I don't think, based on how the offseason went, I don't think he has that luxury.
Oh, no, he's playing first. He's coaching First Life.
Right.
I mean, he knows that.
So, right. So, he doesn't... He can't... If he thinks that, hey, we have to outshoot the Pacers tonight, all right, that's what they got to do.
Yeah.
They can't mess around with... Keon Ellis, specifically. I think he should have played more last night, to be clear. On the other hand, you mentioned he had that 33-point game in the loss to the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
In 14 games since scoring 33 points, he has scored 75 points.
Yeah, that's not great. He's had one game in double figures in the last eight. I get the idea. I do. And sure. And I don't even know if that's... But I'd also point out this. Like, we have like all kinds of things that people throw in the chat all the time. And Mark, if I pull something up and I mention your name on the radio today, don't feel like I'm calling you out. We're just using some of the discussion that's going on in the chat to carry it over into
you are
the
an avatar for the larger conversation.
Yeah, from Mark Wong. Instead of keeping an offense that was working and making DeMar adjust and fit in, they tried to have two styles, and it's way too complex, and obviously everyone isn't bought in, is what I think the point is.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to point out, like, yeah, the DeMar DeRozan thing. DeMar DeRozan, in the four-game losing streak, 17 points on 7 of 18, 10 points on 4 of 13, 12 points on 4 of 10. Last night, DeMar DeRozan, NBA future Hall of Famer, 35-year-old, like, offensive juggernaut, scored 2 points on 1 of 7.
Jesus. That's not going to do it.
That's not it. I don't know what to say. Like, you talk about a four-game losing streak and what happens, and, you know, we can't say they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say he's tired. Mm-hmm. They just had 12, like, one game in 12 days or yeah. two games in 12 yeah. days. So what gives? Over his last four games, he's averaging 33.7 minutes per game. He's averaging 10.3 points on 33% shooting from the floor, 16% from three. I don't know what to tell you. There isn't another option for Mike Brown to turn to if DeMar DeRozan isn't giving you 20 points.
Yeah.
There's not.
And to Mark Wong's point about DeMar and the offense being too complicated, I think things got too complicated, quote unquote, because they didn't supplement the roster correctly. If you're going to have that top four of Fox, DeRozan, Keegan, Sabonis, and then I guess you'll throw Herter into the starting lineup, and then Malik off the bench and Keon off the bench. You don't need more dudes that need to have the basketball in their hands.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it's gotten too complicated, because it's like trying to the like, hey, you got, there's one ball that doesn't necessarily the reason the like whole one ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
because that was the big critique when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. Like, well, there's only one ball. But that was a ball movement. Everybody's going to touch it. Pause. Everybody is going to get their chances. But Steph and KD, those are the two dudes. And that's kind of the pecking order, and that's how it's going to be. And the players supplemented what they were doing. With the Kings, it was like, yeah, hey, let's just throw more buckets at the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there was a consideration for, okay, here's how DeMar fits, but then what is that domino effect? What he's going to strengthen this, but this is going to get weaker, so how do we supplement that? It's just everything last year boiled down to the problems with their roster, the lack of length, the lack of athleticism on the wings. Like, that has been their problem. It was a problem in the playoffs 2 years ago. It was a problem all season last year, and now it's a problem again this year.
Yep.
And you threw DeMar DeRozan at the problem. Like, great. There's 22 points a night. That doesn't do anything for me to solve the real issue. So I would agree. Like, it's gotten a little overcomplicated, I think, offensively, where they've gotten away from, like, Domas has been scoring more, but I think they're leaving meat on the bone with him as a playmaker.
Oh, yeah. For sure. He's down, like, 2 assists a game.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's your dude. That's the focal point of your offense.
Okay, so a couple of things. I remember in De'Aaron Fox's rookie season, Dwayne Tickner, one of Dave Yeager's assistants,
mm-hmm.
He told me, he's like, I pulled De'Aaron Fox aside because he had 7 turnovers, and I had an iPad out.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, I want to walk you through the 7 turnovers. He goes, well, what do you want to know? And Dwayne's like, well, let's just go through the video. He's like, no, I don't need to go through the video.
Yeah, I can tell you each one.
I can tell you each turnover and what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. He started listing one turnover after another and telling him what he did wrong on each of those plays.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a low basketball IQ team. I don't care how many times people want to say that on the internet, throw it out there. Come on. Mm-hmm. This is not a... Domantas Sabonis is one of the highest basketball IQ players in the league. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan is a 16-year NBA veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Malik Monk is one of the best pick and roll dudes in the league. You know what it takes to be a great pick and roll dude? A very, very sharp mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it takes. It takes that and some guts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. A very high IQ basketball team. You look at Trey Lyles versus, like, some of the other players that you should go get. Trey Lyles is like considered a very high IQ basketball mm-hmm. player. Kevin Huerter, the way he knows how to play the game. Every single one of these guys knows how to play the game. The IQ is not the problem.
Sure.
It's the lack of length and athleticism to compete on a nightly basis with what everybody else in the league has.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, hey, I got too complex. It got too complex for a 16-year NBA veteran who's going in the Hall of Fame, for a 3-time All-Star and 3-time All-NBA player in Domantas mm-hmm. Sabonis. De'Aaron Fox, it got too complicated for De'Aaron Fox. It didn't get too complicated.
The word that's coming up here in the chat, and I've seen it now from EG, I see it here from Aldrin J, and it might have come up before, but I'm not going to scroll up to find it, is soft. And I know that that's like one of the worst things you can call an athlete. I don't think they're soft individually. Like, Domantas Sabonis goes out there and gets his ass whooped every game.
Domantas Sabonis said it in the locker room the other night. We were soft tonight.
And it's not just that night.
No.
It is a game in, game out issue. And to me, I don't know, because I'm not there. I'm not. I don't know if that's a coaching thing. I don't know if that's the mindset of the star players and everybody follows it, where it's like, there's just a general, like, indifference where, yeah, we're good, but, like, it's
okay,
the Pacers.
But
it's December.
I always say this, like, it's one thing to go get a defensive player that isn't good enough offensively to ever step on the court. A defensive player sitting on the bench does not help you. Having Jay Crowder, who is the last thing in his career he'll be called, is soft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a dude who you don't want to mess with, right? Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't play, then it doesn't matter. And so the question is should you just put Jay Crowder out there so you aren't soft as a team? One guy's going to change the complexity? No, the answer is that you have to find someone, unfortunately, at this point in his career, that's just better than Jay Crowder to do that. They can actually play 25 to 30 minutes a night and bring that mentality to the court the whole time. And this isn't, like, again, an indictment on Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder was out of the league until the Kings signed him, like, 15 games into the season.
I think again we're giving slices of blame pie here, and that's why this goes back to the front office for me, because if you want to instill a mindset via a player, a veteran, have Jay Crowder in camp. Have Jay Crowder from day one. Allow him to establish a voice. He talked about it like, yeah, I just showed up and I started playing, and so I'm still trying to get a feel for finding my way here.
When he was there for a couple of days earlier, Isaac Jones and him exchanged numbers, and Isaac Jones was texting him the whole time while he wasn't even on the team.
Yeah, not to say that, because you said it, like, Jay Crowder is not...
he's not the solution.
Right, but yeah. when you talk about, like, these little mistakes, because I don't think it's one big thing. They didn't make one big miss, and it's like, wow, that's the reason. It's a lot of little things that have just kind of piled up that have got them here, mm-hmm. and it's little things like that. Like, we talk about mindset, we talk about energy, we talk about leadership. It's like, man, a guy like Jay Crowder in the locker room for all of camp and through the start of the season probably would have helped.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. Again, the record's probably not dramatically different, but maybe they dig deep and win a couple of games that they smoked.
Yep. And I'm going to bring this up too. Russ Dog, Domas is playing injured. Just so people know, first of all, the back is a huge issue. He came off the court against the Lakers the first time, mm-hmm. was grabbing at his low back in the second quarter. They came over, they worked on him, and he continued playing. Then in the second Lakers game on Saturday, he rolled his ankle and has an ankle sprain. No one on the team thought he would play, especially with an early game the next day. He showed up Sunday morning and said, "What are you guys talking about? I'm going." And they're like, this is one of the toughest guys in the league. And yeah. The standard he sets for playing through injury is spectacular. Like, he played with a broken bone in his thumb that he broke in December and played all the way through the playoffs. Didn't miss a game. Like, this dude is an absolute warrior. He is playing hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about. Like, Domantas Sabonis is not a soft player at all.
No, this is a team-wide mindset.
Yeah, it's a team-wide mindset. Exactly.
I have a question about DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
That we will get to coming up. Major League Baseball lost a legend. We'll discuss that. We got to get into the 49ers lost yesterday, but somehow won at the same time. And the Raiders won yesterday and somehow lost at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into all of that. There's plenty more Kings. Plus, we're going to do some fun holiday stuff toward the end of the program. I promise. We're going to try and have some fun today. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're rocking with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. Hell yeah. This is how we're going to get the vibes up with Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree. Shout out. I'm doing my best, everybody.
You're doing your best. Now let's talk about the horrible topic.
Sam there. I'm Kyle Madsen. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the program, we're also leaning on the Chatty House today. Again, this is a lot like Friday's show where whatever there. We listen today, and we don't judge. Whatever your take, let it rip.
Mm.
Even if you're like, yeah, I'm not sure, I'm still workshop, let it fly. I don't think there's anything that should be off the table right now. I don't think I would trade, what did we have the other day, De'Aaron Fox for Zach LaVine? I'm not there.
Oh, no.
But anything other than that.
Come on now.
We talked about this a little bit at the break at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Shout out to our guy, Michigan Wolverines, for bringing it up. I want to frame this correctly because I'm not sure the Kings would be better if they hadn't done the DeMar DeRozan trade. Like, if they had just held on to Harrison Barnes, and I don't think they'd necessarily be better. But I kind of wonder if the Harrison Barnes trade could have been used differently.
Well, no, of course, that's always going to be the question. Like, if there was some other player that was just different.
Like, yeah, even if it's a worse player production-wise.
Yeah, well, I mean, a worse player production-wise, but a better fit.
Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, because what you did is when you decided to sign DeMar DeRozan, who's a guaranteed starter the moment you sign him,
mm-hmm.
The thing it did, like, instantly is it locked you in as undersized.
Yes.
There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
So unless DeMar DeRozan's coming off the bench mm-hmm. and you find somebody else who's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", you're undersized no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the biggest example of this was the Denver Nuggets game where, again, you walked out and, like, DeMar DeRozan was defending Aaron Gordon, who mm-hmm. outweighs him by probably 20 pounds.
Yeah. That's just not going to play.
And just absolutely, the first thing the Nuggets did was go in the post and score on DeMar DeRozan. Like, within a minute, Mike Brown had already called a timeout. And then the other option at the other wing, because you had an injury problem to mm-hmm. Keegan Murray, was you started Doug McDermott at 6'6",
yeah,
against a 6'10" Michael Porter Jr., and he absolutely dwarfed him. Like, watching their starting lineup, watching the team's lineup for the tip, it was like, what in the world?
Yeah. They're small.
That's the problem. And not only that, but you took your most versatile defender in yeah. Keegan Murray.
Yep.
And you limited him to playing power forwards because you don't have anyone else on the floor that can do it.
Yeah.
That's it. So now, as opposed to Keegan being able to move around and defend different people,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it because you have no positional versatility in exactly. the starting lineup at all.
Exactly. You can be undersized if you've just got a bunch of dogs on defense.
Yeah.
You can be undersized if, you know what, undersized, but we have two different guys who can effectively just, you know, put a body on a center and they can defend three other positions and you can switch and you can get out and run and you can move the ball offensively. That's when you can be undersized.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it because you have 6'6" Doug McDermott and 6'6" DeMar DeRozan and 6'3" De'Aaron Fox. It just doesn't.
Your starting lineup is 6'3", 6'3", 6'6", 6'8", 6'10".
Oof.
And you run up against, again, a Denver Nuggets team that starts at 7'1" and goes to 6'10" and 6'7", 6'8", and Aaron Gordon. Like, it's, you're undersized. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. You have no opportunity to match with
no.
physically with the opponent. And so sometimes it works. Sometimes you can get out and run. Sometimes you can disguise things. I know Mike Brown went with a bunch of small ball lineups yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was here for it. I was here for the lineup with Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter, Doug McDermott, De'Aaron Fox, and Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. I thought, hey, that's inventive. At least I'm here with De'Aaron Fox and four shooters,
mm-hmm.
except for the four shooters can't shoot right now.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, when the four shooters that you're running out there, who are literally career great shooters, all of them are 36, 38% career shooters.
Mm-hmm.
When all of them are below their career averages, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood the idea of it. Get Fox downhill, get him to the paint, kick out to shooters, have them score.
Yep.
But if they don't score, you're not getting a single rebound.
Yep.
Because you're undersized.
Yep.
That's it. Like, you're toast. So if the offense isn't working, if they're not scoring, it doesn't matter what they're doing defensively. Like, the best way to stop a team and slow them down defensively, like, if you're on the defensive end, is to make a basket so they're pulling the ball out of the basket and going in and bounding the ball while you're getting back on defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you disguise it. But, yep. Yeah, tough.
Let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. I pushed the wrong button. Mitch in New Jersey was on hold. Mitch, please call back.
Oh, you hung up on him?
I hung up on him. Legitimately, I was going to get to him and I hit the wrong button. So Mitch, please call back. I promise we'll get to you. In the meantime, we've got our guy Don on the line. Don, you are on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up? Hey, Don.
What, me?
Yes.
I'm not Don. I think you kind of messed up. I'm Stuart.
Oh, sorry about that, Stuart. Our call screener got it wrong. Go ahead.
Hey,
sorry,
no
buddy.
Problem. Happy Festivus to both of you guys.
Yeah, we're airing grievances today, baby.
Yes. Hey, I'm a letter rip. All right, so we need a trade Fox. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
He doesn't have the Kobe. He doesn't have the Jordan. He doesn't have the killer instinct to far into these guys. And, you know, he is – I have him on my fantasy team. He's doing awesome for me. I love him on my fantasy team. But we need a guy who's a leader, which Fox isn't, because I'd rather see him traded. We'll just get Halliburton back and let's give him Fox. And I'll guarantee you we will be a perennial playoff team. Fox is not a leader. You guys, I know you guys are like, oh, he can score. But I do not see him has that fire. He doesn't have the LeBron. He doesn't have the Larry Bird. I mean, we're talking about greatest. He's up there. But he doesn't have that leadership. And that's I think that's the reason why we got Sabonis. Sabonis is a great shooter, great player, but sure. He doesn't have that quality, and that's what we need is a real captain. We get that captain, we're good. The team is good, but we need a leader.
Thanks.
Hey, happy festival. I love the show.
Thanks, Stuart. Appreciate you, man. Happy Festivus to you. We're airing grievances today. Okay, here's look. I want to take Stuart's call in two parts because
okay.
I don't disagree with his De'Aaron Fox take on the mindset. Again, this is not a bad thing. There's a lot of players who are very, very good and don't have that
je ne sais quoi.
That just
it is
not a psychopath.
It's that certain something.
Like it's okay, and it's not to drag him. It just. If that's the case, then you need somebody else, I think, who is. I think Anthony Edwards is like that. I think Anthony Edwards is a lunatic when it comes to trying to win. And De'Aaron Fox picks his spots, and that's we've seen him have a lot of success. You don't score 60 points in the NBA on accident.
Mm-hmm.
You don't average almost 30 a night on accident. Like, he's a very freaking good player.
He is.
But does he leave meat on the bone because he's not psychotic? And it's not to blame. Like, dude, he has a great life. Makes a ton of money. He has a beautiful family. And he hangs out. And he's awesome at basketball. And he's going to get paid to be awesome at basketball for a long time. And that's just what it is. I don't know the guy. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. I don't know that what's happening with the Kings right now, I don't want to say it doesn't bother him. But I don't know that he has the mindset to just like single-handedly be like, all right, team on my back, let's go. We're going to win four in a row, and I'm going to average 38 a night in those four games. But also, even if he wanted to, I don't know if the team around him is good enough to do that. But anyways, go on.
Well, and I don't know if the team around him is built to have him do that. I mean, like, mm-hmm. We talk about the 60-point and 49-point game. DeRozan was out both of those games. Sabonis was out the 49-point game, and Sabonis got hurt in the 60-point game. He either got hurt or he fouled out. I think he got hurt. I don't know. I also think that having 5 years of complacency and winning not mattering in your career is a big deal.
I think you're right.
I think that, like, basically, while De'Aaron Fox was getting better and better as a basketball player, just wins and losses didn't matter because that team and the franchise just wasn't. They can say that they were, mm-hmm. but you know, the one guy who said, "Hey, forget everything else. We're just going to do something tailored to our team and try to win games for the sake of winning games." Mm. It's Dave Yeager, and he got fired at the end of the season. And it's because, like, they couldn't deal with all the other stuff that came along with him.
Mm.
But, like, outside of that, like, this mentality of winning 30-something games is okay, or it's just going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at a certain point, you get it with a player who just... Maybe that's who he thinks that, like, it's part of who you are. You can't just sit there and, like, not learn the winning aspect of the game for 5 years in the NBA.
Yep.
Again, he was a great player in high school, great player in college. Mm-hmm. Won. He gets mm-hmm. to the pros and it's like, hey, man, it's okay if we lose 50 games a year. 50 plus. It's okay.
It's crazy.
You're part of the Kings. That's what we do here.
That's crazy.
But, like, I get it. There's at this point, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of finger pointing. And part of the finger pointing is because you don't want the stink of what's happening on you, right? And part of the finger pointing is you want to save your job. And the first thing to do is to push a coach under the bus because, heaven forbid, you didn't build a team that could win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the first thing that's going to happen. But just so you know, the bus comes for everybody here. Mm-hmm. It does. Players don't rarely play their entire career in one spot.
Yeah.
And they certainly have a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
Right? Coaches who get fired, they go on to coach somewhere else, you know. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, what happens after a coach gets fired is not usually like a light switch goes off and all of a sudden they win a bunch of games, right, and you're in the playoffs and you're everything's great and the flawed roster for some reason looks so much better with Coach X there.
Look at what the Bucks did last year.
Oh, yeah.
Fired Adrian Griffin halfway through the year and were worse.
Oh, they were bad. They were bad. And they brought in Doc Rivers, and they brought in Dave Yeager, and they brought in one other coach that...
Terry Stotts came in with Adrian Griffin and then left.
Yeah, and I think they had Rex Kalamia there as well.
Okay.
Like, they did good work to bring in coaches, but, like, that's just the game. Like, it's hard for you to just say, okay, one coach is gone, now it's time we rally. And yeah. So, just so you know, what happens after that is when the season spins out, which it most likely will,
mm-hmm,
the next move is to fire the GM.
Yep.
Fire the assistant GM.
Mm-hmm.
Fire everybody involved.
Yeah. Clean house.
Clean house. Because what, mm-hmm, you can do is you can't have a GM who's on the hot seat hiring the next coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't make any sense. Now you got to hire a new GM to hire a new coach because you're not. So here we go again. And that's where this whole thing, like, I've been warning of this moment forever. We're at that moment, just so everyone knows. We're at the moment. Like, whether they're going to do something, mm-hmm, dramatic here or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and do I think that Mike Brown has done enough to save his job? I being honest, absolutely not. Your team is in the tank.
Yeah, you can't be, what are they, 4 games under now?
4 games under 500 and spiraling out of control.
No.
But at the same time, I understand the reasoning why his team is spiraling out of control. I'm confused as to how they don't show up in the second half and how you lay down against an Indiana Pacers team when you know you need a win so bad. But at a certain point, man, as players,
mm-hmm,
like, it's you who either makes the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone here, like, fans and everyone, they have no say in that. They're just here to cheer you on and hope that you go as far as you can go. But as players, I don't understand just disappearing, mm-hmm, and going, hey, game over. Like, I was wondering last night, where's the puke guy? Because that's what it felt like. It felt like the puke game all over again.
Where's the puke guy?
Where's the puke game? Because
the puke guy is the name of today's episode.
We needed it. We needed someone who brought levity to the situation, you know, because nothing is going as planned right now for the Sacramento Kings.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. The show is called The Insiders. We're taking you up to noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. Final show of the year. We'll be back January 2nd. But again, we're hanging out with you till noon today. I want to get to the second part of Stewart's call real quick, and then we'll get out to Mitch in New Jersey, who's back on hold. Mitch, we love you. Hang in there. I don't think, let's go to the world where the Pacers would swap Fox for Halliburton straight across. And where the Kings would do that, I don't think it helps.
Yeah.
I watched De'Aaron Fox be the best player in a playoff series. I watched Tyrese Halliburton actively, like, shy away from the basketball in the playoff series. He had moments, and they went to the conference finals. Like, I get it. That was great. But I don't think Tyrese Halliburton solves anything for the Kings, to be honest.
No. And I would also, like... I'm going to pull up again.
I like Tyrese Halliburton fine. This is not an anti-Halliburton thing. I don't think that's the solution.
No, I'm totally with you. And again, if you're looking for somebody who, you know, I'm just not going to say it. That's not the personality shift that changes everything.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I'm gonna pull up Eric in the chat. Mike Brown couldn't win with a stacked Lakers team, noticing a pattern in his last few jobs. Just so you know, his last job, Eric, he won, what, 3 championship rings with the Golden State Warriors, having one of the most incredible defenses,
yep,
that we've seen with no defensive players outside of Draymond Green. He also, with that group... they led the league in defensive rebounding every year, even though they only had 2 guys averaging 7 rebounds a game and their third leading rebounder being Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So just to point out that, yeah, you can say what you want about 5 minutes with the Lakers, but like Mike Brown came in with credentials and through his first season here, he continued with those credentials. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this is Mike Brown will coach in the league for another 15 years as an assistant, or as maybe he gets another head coaching job if he's no longer the coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I think the Warriors miss him, but I don't know that. I think the delta between being an assistant coach in the NBA and being a head coach in the NBA is dramatic enough.
Well, I mean, if you watch the Draymond Green interview with De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. he specifically asks about Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, he said Mike Brown is a defensive guru. Like, how could you guys not play defense for him?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get it. Like,
yeah.
Draymond Green sure. had him as a coach mm-hmm. and doesn't get it.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes it's not in your player's makeup to mm-hmm. do that. But also, sometimes you have to bring in players that are actually good defensive players to start.
Sure.
And hope that you can work to get those good defensive players to great defensive players mm-hmm. and work through that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot more to this.
Let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Mitch is in New Jersey. Mitch, happy holidays to you. How we doing?
Good. How you guys doing? Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you and your families.
Yeah, same to you, buddy.
Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can play a little Adam Sandler, you know, Happy Hanukkah. It's up to you. I know you only have a 2-hour show.
yeah, no, salute.
Yeah.
It seems like our team is too small. We really could have done, DeMar's a good player, maybe a Hall of Famer, but we should have gone for size in terms of like Collins or the other fellow from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have replaced DeMar DeRozan with another Hall of Famer, Russell Westbrook. I know he's a little bit wild, but he's a Hall of Famer, and they're about the same age, so you could have replaced them. It's like we have too many small foes, like the 49ers have had too many quarterbacks at one time. And hopefully you don't follow the same way like the 49ers season is going. Hopefully it turns around soon.
No doubt. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. It seems like the Kings and 49ers are headed to the same place.
They are, but they're just heading there in two totally different ways.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. We should probably cover the one other thing that we don't want to talk about today so we can cleanse our palate for the second hour and kind of move forward.
Yeah. Some bad news in the baseball world over the weekend.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, 10-time All-Star, MVP, 2-time World Series champion, Ricky Henderson, who played for 25 Major League Baseball seasons, died at the age of 65. Man. One of those, he is, I don't know that there's a player that I like more, despite the fact that when I was growing up, he was well into his career. Like, by the time I started watching baseball, Ricky Henderson was like 40. By the time I was like cognizant of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And to a person, ask any A's fan, and I'm going to ask you, ask any A's fan about, hey, who's your favorite player growing up? And any A's fan aged, I don't know, I'm 34 and I just missed it. So let's say 40 and older
mm-hmm.
is going to go, the first name out of their mouth is more than likely Ricky. He was just that dude.
Oh, yeah, he was that dude. He brought so much charisma, so much just moxie mm-hmm. to the field. I grew up like sitting in the left field bleachers and sometimes we would heckle Ricky just because we were teenagers and mm-hmm. messing around and stuff. But I grew up watching Ricky from the beginning. Like Ricky like came up in 1979. And to be honest with you, just like he changed the game. I mean, his first full league in the first full season in Major League Baseball, he stole 100 bases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you were watching something we had never seen before. And it took a while, but then he started hitting home runs. And I remember when they traded Ricky Henderson the first time, and I, as a young kid, cried when they traded him. I remember when they brought Ricky back, and this happened so many times, but being part of that great run with you know, Carney Lansford and Dave Stewart and Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire and Dave Henderson, like that run, just like they were the most complete team you've ever seen. And Ricky Henderson, the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Just like there was something about him, the stories about him are crazy. Everything about him was bigger than life. And to lose him on something like this where, you know, to hear he's 65, first of all, everyone that I've talked to who had been around him in the last couple of years said he looked like he could still play. And so to lose somebody that was that healthy and that in that good a shape at 65 years old is just absolutely horrific. And just like lots of love going out to his family and you know, the baseball community is as a whole, the A's fans have lost so much this year. Yeah. And that's what it really strikes a chord, like to lose the A's themselves, but then to lose like the embodiment of what it was to be an A over the last five decades in Ricky Henderson. Who's just
from Oakland.
From Oakland.
And the field at the Coliseum was named after
him. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, to me, it's one of the saddest conclusions to a baseball story that you can possibly, you know, imagine. And so I'm sad. I saw it hit really late on Friday night that there were rumors. Mm-hmm. And it was just like your heart sunk and like, please, no, not right before Christmas. He's born on Christmas Day.
No.
So his family, you know, you're gearing up for all of that stuff and just absolutely horrible. You know, again, RIP Ricky.
Ricky Henderson at age 40 played for the Mets. He played 121 games and batted .315 with a .423 on base percentage and stole 37 bases as a 40-year-old.
Dude, like gangster. He was, man. He just kept going. And you always felt like he could keep playing. Every time you saw him, it's like, he looks the same.
Yeah.
He just looks the same the whole time. I know they said something like, Ricky Henderson had he was the all-time leader in walks until Barry Bonds came along. And Ricky Henderson was the last person you ever wanted to walk.
Yep.
Because when you walked him, he was going to be standing on third base like 2 minutes later. And everybody in the world wanted to walk Barry Bonds because he was going to hit a home run. So for him to take all of those years to finally pass him, it's just crazy.
Yep. Rest in peace to the greatest of all time. We'll be back in a second. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
The ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you into the holidays. It is our final show of the 2024 calendar year. Maybe.
Don't say maybe, Kyle.
I don't know. If something wild happens, we might have to call an impromptu program. I don't know. Any breaking news yet?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. Mm. It's been all quiet on the Western Front.
Too quiet, some say.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do, a easy radio bit here.
Okay.
Kings, 49ers, Raiders. Well, first of all, let's put a pin in the Kings thing just very briefly. The 49ers looked dreadful yesterday again. They lost 29-17 to the Miami Dolphins. They were eliminated from the playoffs officially before the game started, but ensured that was the case by playing terribly once again. The good news for the 49ers is everything else went right for them in terms of draft order. So because they lost to the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Colts, and the Cowboys, and the 49ers all entered yesterday at 6 and 8. So the 49ers picked 15th in the draft because strength of schedule is the tiebreaker. So if you have a higher strength of schedule, you get a worse draft pick.
Okay.
So with the other 4 6 and 8 teams winning and the 49ers losing, they jumped all the way up to 11th in the draft. And if the Saints win tonight, they will be tied with the 49ers. The 49ers still have a higher strength of schedule, so they'll be behind them. But it'll inch them closer to a top 10 pick.
You're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance.
Man, that could get you a defensive tackle. That could get you...
Get you an offensive tackle.
A right tackle that could be a left tackle in 2 years.
Defensive
end. Yeah.
You could get a really good player in the top 10.
I think you can. Yes.
So, and this is what I saw the conversation online yesterday. It's like, oh, should they tank? It's like, they don't need to tank. They're just not good.
That's true.
They have the Lions left who are going to beat the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Lions are going to win that game by 40.
Yep.
And if you think Dan Campbell and all them are not going to hold a grudge because of the NFC title game last year and run it up, guess again.
They might score 80.
They are going to score so many freaking points. And then they have the Cardinals, who are on par with the 49ers, but they have to go to Arizona in that game. So there's a chance they might lose out just on accident. Like, trying earnestly to win and still losing.
No, I think that they very well, like, that's a path forward, for sure.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think it's like, oh, they're going to tank. Like, nah. I just think they're just not that good.
No. I agree with you.
The Raiders, on the other hand, won. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 19-14. That game also killed the Swift, Kirk, and the Dickers, but we'll save the fantasy football talk for later.
I think all of the games killed us. Yes. We had a bad week.
So the Raiders entered the day with the number one overall pick. They lose? Last night, they had lost. They would have maintained the lead for the number one overall pick, tied with the Giants, the New York football Giants, who got freaking mollywopped yesterday.
And who are clearly looking for a starting quarterback.
And maybe a coach, and maybe a GM.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But first, all of those things matter. But for the Raiders, the fact that they are looking for a quarterback with the first pick, that matters.
So the Raiders, with their loss, dropped all the way down, according to Tankathon. And Tankathon does the draft order based on projected strength of schedule. That's how they do tiebreakers. So it's strength of schedule for the entire year, not just the opponents they've played.
Okay.
So if you see discrepancies in the order, that's what it is. It's people using different strength of schedule.
Yep.
Some people use it through week 16. Some people use it through the whole year. Some people use it through the whole year, but like with projected scores.
Okay.
It's weird. But anyways, the Raiders currently hold on to the number 6 overall pick. And when you talk about needing a quarterback, the New York Giants picking first, they need one. But then you've got New England. They don't.
Mm-mm.
Jacksonville does not. But then Tennessee and Cleveland probably both taking quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
So if the Raiders want to get up into that top three and get a quarterback, they're probably going to have to go some to do it. Because you're probably going to see Tennessee and Cleveland also trying to move up.
Yep.
Yikes, man.
So a win is a loss in a big way.
Because I'm not even... last year, you and I disagreed on this last year. Last year, you were on board with lose out.
Just lose, baby.
I was on board with, you know what? Establish that culture. If Antonio Pierce is winning and you're doing all the right stuff and you feel good going, okay, yeah, no, you know what? That's fine. But this year, every loss is damaging to me. Like, you're not establishing culture. You're just winning on accident.
No, I get you. And I would say the one good thing about last season is that for how bad it turned out, they got Brock Bowers. And Brock Bowers is a flat-out baller. Mm-hmm. So and they were able to get a superstar tight end. I mean, the dude's over 1,000 yards as a rookie. And that's with some of the worst quarterback play we've seen, whether it's Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, whatever. They're just not good at all. Wasn't there someone else who started a game for them?
Desmond Ridder.
Oh, yeah.
Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's like not...
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad omen. That's not good when you've got those guys starting.
Wizzo Max says Brock Bowers is our new Zach Miller. Well, first of all, Brock Bowers is way better than Zach Miller. And when you look at projecting what the Raiders look like in the future, that's a really good place to start. Max Crosby is one of the 4 or 5 best defensive ends in the sport. One of the most disruptive defensive players in the sport, and Brock Bowers is about to set the rookie receiving record. Like,
okay, you got two players.
It's a good start.
Yeah, now let's start.
You need to fill out, but that's a good like foundation.
Uh-huh.
Like, you feel really good about Brock Bowers moving forward. Like,
I wasn't being sarcastic this time. I wasn't.
They got a long ways to go, though, and moving down in the draft is not going to help.
What I hate to see is that maybe they're looking across and saying, oh, that Mac Jones kid, he seems pretty good. Maybe we should chase him in the offseason.
I don't think anyone's saying that. I can't believe...
He plays with fire.
Look, I'm so sorry, everyone, because if James and I had won our company fantasy league, we were gonna buy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, we just leaned too hard on Mac Jones and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's on us.
Yeah, just a little. But you know, Brian Thomas had a huge game.
Yeah, but then the Brenton Strange instead of Hunter Henry killed us.
It killed us.
Like, we didn't... We should have picked one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? That's on us.
You know, even like the beginning of the season, we had Brian Thomas Jr. and we had Christian Kirk, hence the name Swift, yeah. Kirk and the Diggers.
Yep.
And so like we were banking on them early. I think we even
on
had...
accident. We didn't take Christian Kirk on purpose.
No, that's true. That's true.
We did. I ran out of time while picking.
It did. That's happened.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry everybody. We're not going to be buying drinks anytime soon.
No.
Wish we were though.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
I mean, we've got plenty to drink. We could just, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if people just want to pull up, we got Woodford and various boozes all over this place.
Oh, yeah, the Kraken.
I think the boss has some. Well, I know one boss has a bunch of bourbon and stuff in his office.
Yeah.
Oh, the other boss has got some vodka.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyways.
I may have only bought gifts for one boss. Just a warning, Kyle. Well, since no one's listening.
I'll go give the other boss a hearty handshake.
A hug.
Oh, no. God, no.
How about a hug?
James is there. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube is omnipresent. They sponsor the program. If you're driving anywhere tomorrow or Wednesday,
yeah,
get your car into Jiffy Lube today.
Oh, heck yeah.
Get those windshield wipers replaced. Get your headlights and brake lights checked. Battery. Got to get an oil change.
Tires.
Make sure that's done.
Get everything checked.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely the time of the year that you need to have about as safe a car as possible.
Yeah.
You do not want to get stranded somewhere.
Yep. All right, so we're going to do a cliche radio bit. It's a holiday season. It's a season of giving.
Okay.
You can give the Kings, 49ers, and the Raiders each one thing to, I don't want to say fix them, but help them as much as humanly possible.
Okay.
And there's no like parameters.
Well, we can't do like we give you 22-year-old LeBron James.
Yeah, no, it has to be a thing that currently exists.
Okay, it currently exists. Okay.
I guess if the easy thing is to be like, hey, we're going to give the Kings an athletic defensive wing.
Okay.
But I don't know who's, is it just like Jason Tatum's the ideal? You just give the Kings Jason Tatum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be a lot of, yeah, goodness.
Okay, but let's keep it
realistic.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, not to torpedo the bit, but this gets to something I saw some people asking earlier in the chat. I don't even know. We've talked a lot about like Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think that helps that much at this point.
No, I mean, those aren't needle movers at this point. I mean, they might have been 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, I don't think that helps. I mean, I would like to say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's going to change everything. But... Like I don't think it would.
The Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith thing would have been the type of move that, hey, this is a team that's like sitting a couple of games over 500, but they can't quite like really get over the hump, and these are going to be the guys that get them there.
Okay.
To me, the Kings are in a rut.
Okay, so...
And they're in a rut that Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith are not going to get them out of.
Yeah. Okay, so I like to do analogies here. Like, you know when you're doing a yard sale, right? And you're pulling all the stuff out of your garage and you're starting to get ready for the next day, the next mm-hmm. morning, right? And some dude pulls up and says, oh, having a yard sale? And you're like, yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be up and running like 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, mind if I shop it early? And you're like, yeah, I
do
mind.
People do that?
Oh, yeah, they do. They always want to get there before the yard sale starts.
Mind if I shop it early? Yeah, yeah. But you're going to pay retail.
It's like, no, the yard sale starts tomorrow. Okay, you still know I can't just browse for a few minutes and, you know, I got cash. You're like, no, bro, I haven't even put stickers on stuff yet.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, okay.
I'm still preparing.
And then they drive off and they don't come back the next day and you never see them ever again. But sure. The king should have been that guy. They should have been that guy in September. They should have been that guy in the early days of October.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew the Nets were holding a yard sale. Mm-hmm. You should have gone to them early and got the players you needed before the first 30 games of the season looked like a team that just lacked everything that you needed to get before the season.
Yep.
Like, it's like what we're talking about is like bailing water, your boat's leaking and you got a teaspoon and you're flicking water over the side. Like, hey, man, the boat's going to sink.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got it. Hey, wait, I found a solo cup here. I can sit here and bail out water while, like, you waited a little too long. You waited until your team decided to go 0-4 and to quit in a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment where you waited too long. And realistically, the moment you waited too long was when you opened the season with a roster that was broken and you started signing guys that were available on the open market. And, you know, not to be disrespectful, they're available because there's a reason they're available.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. It's the world you lived in.
Yeah, I would. I'm seeing. I saw Jaren Jackson.
Oh, no.
For the Kings, Kelly Oubre and Andre Drummond.
If I could get a. I still like Jabari Smith Jr. or.
Oh, Tom Ellis says Jabari Smith Jr.
The other one is Evan Mobley. If there's a way I could get Evan Mobley, I think I would be in.
Scotty Barnes.
Yes, I would definitely. Scotty Barnes is a good one.
Yeah, I've seen Jabari Smith a couple times. Lizzie said Jabari Smith as well. Joe Brazil says OG Anunoby. That's the homie Joe.
Yeah, he'll be hurt.
Yeah, he might not play. Adam L says Bam Adebayo.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to.
Bam would fix everything.
That's the thing is, I think
but
a player,
there's no way to get him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but again, we're undoing the parameters here for a second. I do think that conversation is kind of interesting because Bam is obviously an all defense type of player. Who hasn't been? He started shooting it a little bit in the Olympics, but he hasn't been shooting very well this season. But you at least have to respect him a little bit offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can switch a little bit defensively where all of a sudden some of your problems stopping the ball become less problematic and you don't have to spend so much time helping in the lane. Like the domino effect of adding a player like Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Or just a really, really high quality defensive big changes like the entire complexion of the Kings.
No, I totally agree. I mean, like, the player that you need to put next to Domas, it's not that hard to find. It's hard to acquire. There are players like that. There are players all over the league that are like him, but other teams aren't sitting there saying, okay, we're willing to give them up. They're not. So, you know, again, Aaron Gordon is a version that you know, like a different version than some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
But these long, super athletic, shot blocking, 3-point shooting fours.
Yeah. If you can find a unicorn like that, it just changes everything.
No, it does. And it's really tough because, you know, there's all kinds of different versions of them, but you don't have one at all. And again, we talked about positional, like you locked yourself into like really, really strict positional things here.
Yeah.
You're not switchable at all. Like you got a couple of 6'3" guards, a 6'6" small forward, a 6'8" power forward.
Yeah.
You're not switchable.
Not even a little bit.
No, like there's nothing you can do if you're a coach when that's the limitation. So
one take fades jumped in the chatty house and said, I'm getting cooked for this on Facebook, and he wants to also get cooked for it on the radio, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Here's his trade idea. Kings receive Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith, and Jock Landale. The Rockets receive De'Aaron Fox, Trey Lyles, Kevin Herter, and Colby Jones. $62 million in contracts, a match.
Okay.
Brother, the Rockets, the only thing keeping the Rockets from hanging up would be that they're laughing too hard to hang up the phone immediately.
Yeah, they're not giving up Jock Landale.
That's, hey. You got to give up more if you want Jock. No, man, that feels to me like a, hey, what if the Kings got rid of some of their not good players and De'Aaron Fox and traded them for the Rockets' good players?
Okay, so look, if I'm the Kings, I'm only calling the Rockets. That's it. Like, I have a mandate hiding, and there's only, if you're going to press that button, which I'm not saying they should press that button.
Right, but if
you're going to trade De'Aaron Fox, he did, like I heard, he did build a home in Houston this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the Rockets. I'm calling the Rockets, and I'm saying, what's your best offer? Now, the Rockets, at this point, they have no reason to trade anybody.
Yeah.
But they're going to look at De'Aaron Fox in a different way. They're going to look at him as a Houston kid. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at him as sort of the point guard that can take them to the next, mm-hmm. that can carry through with this group.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got young players that you, as a Kings, like front office, you should be drooling over, like, mm-hmm. what their young players look like.
Mm-hmm.
And can you get two or three of their young players for your one star?
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm starting with Jalen Green. I'm starting with Jabari Smith Jr. I'm starting with Tari Eason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be my first question. Can you get that for De'Aaron Fox?
I just don't think you're getting all three of those guys.
Well, maybe not, but like if I've
Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, and Jabari Smith?
No, you're not getting Amen Thompson.
And Jock Landale?
Yeah, and Jock Landale. Are you kidding me? Jock Landale? No, but if you can make a package of players that makes sense to them, like that's where I would call. Like, I don't think there's another team in the league I would even call outside of them. Like, if I'm going to trade Fox, and I'm not saying I'm trading him, that's the team that has the young players that you could build around that aren't so young. They're all, you know, a couple of years into the mm-hmm. league where they're starting to establish who and what they are in the league. You put them around the other pieces and you might be able to find something.
But to be totally honest, while we're doing the will they, won't they trade De'Aaron Fox thing, it might not be their choice. At the rate this is going.
Well, I mean, he's under contract for a year and a half, so.
No, understood.
I mean, it's one thing
but
to have an agent.
But if he kicks the door down on the front office and says, I'm out.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you trade him, but right. I'm not taking a list.
Sure.
You know, when you're looking at a player that's approaching like his
extension. No, I'm not even talking about who they trade him to or what or
yeah,
for
yeah.
what. You just say, I'm not saying they should, and I'm just saying they might not have a choice.
Oh no, I agree with you.
That's where I'm going.
Oh no, we're getting closer and closer to that moment. It's what I've like been warning. Like, there's giant red flashing lights all around this team.
Mm-hmm.
Been saying it for months. Like, all right, this is where we're headed. This is where we're headed. But like, if you're gonna try to salvage something, that's the team I talk to first and foremost. And I don't let them off the phone until I got a deal done. They just have too much young talent.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, if you can get two pieces that fit and a young, versatile forward off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the thing is, they have enough players that they can probably do it. They can withstand.
Yeah. They can make a huge trade and also still be really freaking good.
Of course. Well, no, and still have a ton of young talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know that. Again, the Rockets have said, like, to this point, we're not making any moves. This is our team.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, it is, because they're very good.
But if a player of De'Aaron Fox's quality gets floated.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, especially at 20, he just turned 27, like, mm-hmm. 2 days ago. Yeah, it's one of those players that you look at and say, okay, how do we acquire them? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the guys that are in Houston are still part of the Daryl Morey tree. And the Daryl Morey tree is very, very specific. If you're going to trade, you're going to trade for a star. And sometimes that costs you a lot to go get a star, but that's what you're trading for. You're going to
get of course.
A star. And I mean, they all star hunt. That's what they do.
Yep.
And Fox is a star. And so I could see them taking pieces that they like, maybe one that they could even love, but going, okay. But
yeah, if they reach a point where they go, hey, we need a star to get us over the top. We're repetitive at this position, and we think we can get better by maybe getting rid of two of these guys, but bringing in this guy, and we think that's going to make us better.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if they're there yet, but I'm with you. That's one of the first calls I'm making. Let's quickly get out to the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
My guys, this is Big E tapping in with you.
Hey, what's up, Big E? Merry Christmas.
Only good vibes, so no Kings talk. I just wanted to thank you two personally and Faraz because I'm in my fantasy league championship.
Let's go.
That's the only good thing I got going on in sports. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Big E, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
We love to hear it.
Salute to Big E. All right. We got someone else on the line. Do we want to get to it now? Hey, whoever's on the line, hang in there through the break. We will get to you right when we get back, I promise. So hang in there. I know you can hear me. Chill there for just a second, and we'll be back in a moment and get to you. We'll have Christmas at ESPN 1320. We have gifts that we will open.
Yep.
Kenny will be here for the handoff. He'll be opening gifts. We're going to try and have a good time in this final half hour of the what in the world is going on in there.
I don't know.
Just take a look at what's happening. That's what I'm looking at. That's Jesse there on the left. And sorry if you're listening on the radio. I'm pointing the camera at the window. That's Jesse on the left. And then Jonathan, our engineer, is currently standing on the table in Studio One.
I'm expecting him to go off the top rope and just an atomic elbow drop on Jesse.
All right, let's have some fun. It's been a little bit of a bummer show, but we'll get to... we'll get to the phone lines and we'll have a good time to finish this out. He's James M. Kyle, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Got a little Nat King Cole to take us into the holidays.
There we go.
Come on. This is the best. I bought this album on vinyl. I can't. I'm waking up early on Christmas morning just to fire up this song or this album.
Right. I was gonna ask a snarky comment there, but I don't want to spoil Christmas gifts.
Oh, okay. Great.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Salute to Nat King Cole. That is the Christmas song. Highly recommend it. Real quick on, so I use YouTube Music because I'm a weirdo, and on YouTube Music it tells you how many times that song has been played on YouTube Music.
Oh,
so Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee, 214 million plays. Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms, 354 million. Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande, 628 million plays.
What?
That's this one. That's this one. This has 628 million plays. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams, 138 million plays, etc., etc. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, 2.1 billion plays.
Is that... That's crazy.
That's so many. I can't...
Billions.
Billion. 2.1 billion.
Wow.
That is just... Mistletoe by Justin Bieber, 620 million. And Mariah Carey's at 2.1 billion.
That is a healthy amount of plays.
Anyways. So many. It's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Don, you are on the Insiders. What's up?
Kyle Hammer, what's up?
TC, what's good, bro?
What's going on?
Hey, man, just vibing. So, Hammer, man, I know, hey, this might sound crazy, right? So, I'm not opposed to trading Fox, right? I'm not opposed to trading Fox, getting young players. And he just, the leader, just not it, lackadaisical, like, we've been here 8 years, bro. Like, if you don't want to be here, bro, and you're ready to move on, it won't be the end of the world, bro, and we can get draft picks and get in here, right? So it's either going to have to be him or Keegan, Hammer, Kyle. Like, it sounds crazy, but we're going to have to bust that move. I'm already looking at draft picks in the first round. I like that center from Duke. He can fit right next to shot blocker, Jaren Jackson, the guy that we've been looking at, that blocker to put next to Domas. Take a look at his film, bro. This guy from Sedan. I like him. He's going to be a first-round pick, maybe a lottery pick. I like that kid, 18 years old. He's the guy to put in, bro. We can make a few tweaks. Don't get rid of Brown. Brown is here to stay. He's going to be the coach, bro. We just going to have to make a decision on Keegan and Fox, bro. That's the main question that we got to ask ourselves and get an answer. That's all I got.
Great. Thanks, TC. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Like, the Keegan Murray thing is going to keep coming up. And, like, at the end of the day, like, Keegan is a really, really high-end talent. Whatever's happening here is not good. Like, watching a player just struggle.
I think it was the last three he missed last night.
Yeah, we talked about it.
It looked like he, like you said, like shot soccer with two hands. Throw-in style shot at the basket.
Yeah, it looked like he threw with two hands. I looked at Sean. I'm like, did he just throw that up with two hands? Like, what in the world just happened?
It's
like to have an elite 3-point shooter, and like, trust me, Keegan Murray has been an elite 3-point shooter for like in his college career as a rookie. I mean, he set the all-time rookie record for most 3-point makes in a season.
Yeah.
Like, this is an excellent 3-point shooter. To watch him look like he can't hit a three, I don't understand. I mean, he bricked that so bad. There was, DeMar DeRozan had a brick in, I don't know, the second quarter, and it was like, what in the world was that? I think it was a left of the top of the key three that just hit the backboard and fell down. Like, shocking. Like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
I don't buy the legs thing. I don't buy it. I mean, three games in four nights, but come on. I don't know what to say about what they're doing, but I do think that there comes a point where you have to figure out who it is that you're going to move. Who are you going to stick with? Who is your core? And I know, like, on Friday, you were adamant that this core of Fox and Monk and Sabonis and Murray just isn't it. And, I'm not all the way there, but I really feel like we're at a point where you've made it that's the only choice is which two or three are you sticking with, and you got to move the others because this thing is broken, and you let it get to this stage by being inactive and not doing your job. And now it's like, okay, well, you're going to have to fire this guy. You're going to have to trade this guy. Like, this is, if you didn't see this coming from a mile away, you didn't watch the 82 games last season and you didn't watch the first 29 games coming into yesterday. You just like ostrich this thing, put your head in the sand.
Let me clarify that take. Cause you're right. I said that core, It was time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that not because of faults with that group specifically, because I think if you had a team where De'Aaron Fox is a starting point guard, Keegan Murray is a starting small forward, Domantas Sabonis is your starting center, and Malik Monk is your sixth man, that's the foundation of a really good group. I think the change they need to make is one that is so drastic that it is going to require them to give up one of that core.
Okay.
That we're 2.5 years into this, it's the same issue. Like, all right, you can't rely on them to sign the right guy. And it's not going to get easier to sign free agents. So if you're not going to sign that guy, you haven't drafted him, surely. And I don't know what Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter and a pick or two is going to get you in the trade market. That, to me, is the logical next step.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I'm willing to take a gamble here if I'm the Kings and see if you can fix things. I would hope that there's a way that this thing is fixable, but like, again, it would require the Kings to delve into the, you know, possibly luxury tax. Like, if I can go trade for Brandon Ingram today without touching the core of this team, the core four, that, or even, you know, if you want to throw DeMar DeRozan in that, you can somehow get Brandon Ingram. And I don't know how long he's going to be out for with his ankle injury, but if you could land him, I'm willing to take that gamble right now. Like, like, why not? Because the Pelicans are in the same situation you are, right? The Pelicans are in a situation.
They're in a worse situation than you are.
Well, I don't know how much worse it is at this point. I mean, I would like to tell you that 5-25 is way better than 13-17, but it's just not. You know, Portland. Yeah. Portland's four games behind the Kings. I mean, but at the same time, the Kings at 13 wins, the fifth seed has 15. Like, wins wise, you got plenty of time to make this thing up. Mm-hmm. If you blow this thing up right now, it's teetering on the brink of. Of that right now. If you blow it up right now, you are saying that the season's over and this group of players is over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether you believe that when you push the button and you start firing people, but that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Like, fans should be prepared for that. The chance of this thing just magically turning around, I just don't get it. Like, if you think that some reason that this trade, I mean, if you fire, let's say you fire a coach, right now, you think Domantas Sabonis is just going to be better than what he already is?
Right.
He's going to be better than 21 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists?
Yep.
Like, there's no cap. I mean, we've kind of reached the ceiling.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you.
So, hey, it's Kenny Caraway.
Let's shift gears and have some fun. We're
going to
try and
here?
Have a nice time. I don't know if Damian is here. Is Damian here, Kenny? No, not yet? Okay, that's fine. If and when Damian gets here, we will get him into the studio. We have like 13 minutes
okay.
left in the year. So it's a handoff. Wait, why are you looked so upset by that.
Yeah, well, what you talking about? Let's have some fun. Ain't nothing fun today.
Oh, no, we're having fun.
We're having a good time.
No, there ain't nothing fun today. I'll have okay. fun tomorrow. They're not going to ruin my Christmas. I'll have fun 2 days from now. But there ain't nothing fun today.
So do you want to open your Christmas present today?
Well, you know, I'm always down to open a present. You know what I mean? I'm always down to open a little present.
It's just been a bummer today. And that's why I was so angry at the Kings, because I was last night, I'm watching the Niners, and I'm keeping an eye on the Kings game, but I can't lock in, you know, because I'm doing my Niners stuff. And,
yeah.
And the Niners game ends, and I'm like, well, that sucked. But luckily, like, we've been known they're out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've known for since the Buffalo game that – or the – Green Bay game or the Seattle game. We know since like week 11, this thing wasn't really going anywhere. Right. Let me turn on the Kings.
Right.
It was close, but I'm looking and I'm going, okay, well, they can pull away from Indiana.
I got the echo.
And they did the opposite. And I thought the Niners game was disappointing, but at least the Niners game was like, yeah, all right. You know what?
They are.
Yeah, this is what they are. You got some optimism going into next year. With the Kings, it's like...
I mean, there's so many things to say. You guys have done a great job of saying it for the last 2 hours or so.
Thank you.
45 minutes.
Thank you.
There's so many things to say.
A lot.
Talk about. The where we'll start off with is this team has let the city down. They have just let this city down that wanted so much for them this summer and coming into the season, that believed in them, they've let them down. And, I mean, you know, pro athletes, they may not care about that. They may not be like, oh,
sure.
Who cares? Like, you guys can't do what we do, or I don't read the paper, I don't do anything. But I speak for my people. I speak for my city. And I don't say it lightly. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm pretty protective of these athletes and these pro athletes. But it just is what it is, man. They've let the city down. And I can say that with their performance, but most importantly, yesterday, I can say that because they just look like they quit.
That's what was disappointing about yesterday, was it wasn't just all the same stuff that's been plaguing them all year. It was watching about 5 minutes left in the third quarter, just the steady, watching the effort wane.
Mm.
It's like,
and that's the thing, right? It's almost like a parent or something like that, right? Like, you know, if you're not good enough, you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you mess up, yeah, we'll be mad, but it hurts, and it should hurt. And like I said, these guys, they may not care one bit.
Sure.
But it should hurt when we're just disappointed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just let us down. You know what I mean? With quitting, with, you know, just not showing up. You just let us down. And that's not, I'm not even mad at the Kings. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. It's just, damn, man, you just let us down. That sucks.
And you mentioned, like, as a parent with your kid or whatever, that's it. What, as a child, that's way worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's way worse. It's just like, let me down.
Yeah.
As a human being, you talk to anybody that you respect, and you do something wrong, and they'd be like, man, I'm just disappointed in you, man. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. They ain't even mad. They're not yelling at you. They're not cursing. They're not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And that's what we feel so far about the 2024-2025 Kings. You guys, they just disappointed us, man.
Yep.
Yeah, the fans were booing early.
Mm-hmm.
As they should.
Super early. Yeah, they should.
Damien Barling's here. Damien, I was trying to have a good time, and Kenny said no.
Kenny said no, no,
no. He said no fun today.
Well, I don't know about Kenny. I'm going to have fun today.
That's great.
These jackasses aren't going to ruin my day.
That's right.
Thanks.
They're going to ruin my holiday.
This guy.
Oh, my holiday's going to be fun. Today, there's some things that need to be said.
I'm going to sit up here and kick and scream. Here's my thing with sports.
How much should we care about YouTube today? Can I play some music?
Yeah, absolutely. My thing with sports is always, I'm never going to care more than they are. Like, if they don't care, I don't either.
Sure.
If y'all want to sit around and talk about this sorry-ass basketball team for 4 hours, I'm happy to facilitate the conversation. But I will not care when they openly don't.
That's fair.
Yeah. And we saw that yesterday.
Shout out Tony Romo. Tony Romo taught me a life lesson after the Cowboys lost in the playoffs. He was like, if this is the worst thing that happens to me, I did all right. And it was like, you know what? If the starting quarterback for this football team doesn't care, why the hell do I? And I swear to you, I stopped giving a crap after that.
Time was that? One, two, three, four, five. Which one? Which Romo fump? Which one?
How many Super Bowls have the 49ers won the last 20 years?
He's
back.
All right.
Sorry. Are we going to pretend like the model franchise of the 80s is any good? Get out of here. Y'all going to leave Tony Romo alone. You're going to stop disrespecting Tony Romo to me.
Hey, real quick. I want to open presents here in a second, but I don't watch that much Tony Romo football or Tony Romo call games because he's on CBS and I'm usually watching a Fox thing. It is wild how much better he is at broadcasting than Tom Brady. Tom Brady sucks, dude.
Tom Brady's terrible. That's not true. No, he's not.
Okay, give me one thing of substance that Tom Brady has ever said.
He's 13 games into his career.
And he stinks.
No, that's not true. No, he doesn't.
He does.
He does not stink.
That's a bootleg, and then he's gonna roll out to the right. You got to see it better than that. That's a tough throw. It's a below average throw, KB. And, man, he wants that one back. Thanks, Tom.
Outside, and this is a big deal. Don't disrespect. But outside of predicting plays when they're at the line, what does Romo do?
He has energy. He gives you context.
Yeah, Tony's good at breaking down why plays are happening.
Yes.
Like Tony, like, digs into,
Romo's good.
He digs into, like, his...
Romo's, yeah.
His old playbooks. I just don't think Brady's done that yet. He just needs he's a rookie.
I need insight. I don't need someone to tell me what happened in the play.
And he'll be
watching
better next year.
God, I hope so.
Romo's
he's
not awful.
Romo's good. I think Greg Olsen's better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen's not way better than Tony Romo.
I think he's a little better than Tony Romo. He's way better than Tom Brady.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But how long has he been doing it? Like, that's my point. Like, Greg Olsen's a vet.
Tony Romo was good from the jump, though.
He was. And that's the thing. That's not normal.
Day one.
He was put on the A broadcast day one and was great.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how the game works.
None of them can touch my boy Aqib Talib.
A throw. Hit him in the chest.
Oh, Kenny, he caught it. God damn it, he caught it. That's Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib is incredible.
Hey, look at watch the homie Chronicles field. Boom.
Hey, dog, I'm telling you. Look, dog, that dude, he didn't want none of that. I'm telling you, bro, for real.
Oh, bro, I think his leg is separated. Oh, man.
you guys want to open presents? We got 5 minutes.
Let's open presents.
I did not bring presents.
That's okay. No, we got
my present to you guys is me.
Thank you. Thank you for pulling up.
His presence is a presence.
He's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year long.
For you, it's room and board.
Kenny, would you like to go first?
Sure.
That's from me. The big bag is
for me. It's a big bag, man. It's a big bag. Come on, man. What are we doing? Hold on.
Yeah, the big bag is
for me. Hope it's a Trey Lance jersey.
I actually have
I hope it's a Tony Romo jersey.
No, it's not.
Oh, man. Hey, this is clutch. This is clutch, right? Oh, man.
I need you to go through individually and say what each thing is.
We got skinny pop popcorn.
Gigantic bag of skinny pop. That'll last until 4.
Yo, these are the hottest candies in the game. The nerd gummy clusters. I've had them. They're good. They're great. But the kids are going crazy over these. These are the hottest candy of 2024.
Yep.
The nerd gummy cluster. Big ups. Peanut M&M's. Let's go.
Resealable bag. I need you to read the next one verbatim.
All right. Well, why do I need to?
What did he give you?
Come on, man. This is
what is it called?
Crazy.
What does it say?
No, this is crazy.
What's it say?
Nature Valley.
What's the rest say?
What kind? There's a lot of different kinds of Nature Valley.
Chewy granola bars.
What kind?
Almond, dipped in almond, butter coating, bursting with almonds. Okay. Well, that's crazy.
There's going to be
Can
bursting.
I see it? Can
sure.
I see the box?
Go ahead, read it. Read the box. Go ahead.
It's called It's called sweet and salty nut.
Oh,
that's what Kenny has. Sweet and salty nut.
Oh, wow, that sentence was crazy. That's what Kenny has. Yo, chill.
No, am I wrong? Kyle gave Kenny sweet and salty nut.
He did.
Is that what he did?
He did.
No, yes or no? Kyle, it's right here.
It's in the bag.
Everyone's watching. Everyone's watching.
Flags everywhere.
Everyone's watching.
That's amazing.
The benches have cleared.
And then the last one, a big old box of fruit snacks.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
Big ups to my guys, man. They make sure that
Kenny's a
child. I don't think
Kenny like he's
I don't think any
eight
of this
years old.
Is leaving the office.
It's amazing.
That's the great thing about this.
I don't think any of that stuff's lasting till 4. Thank God we only have one show today.
It's early.
True.
Okay, you guys have to open these gifts together at the same time.
Here, this looks.
You got a little Woodford.
Woodford's
this looks like
great.
He's not going to make it through the break. Yeah. Through the Christmas break. I like that.
You meant that.
The beautiful ham show family. Started.
What we got? Love 2 minutes? Presents.
Yeah, I got about. Unless you guys are okay starting a little late.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's go. Let go!
We got a gigantic box of 20 little bites.
These fools love their little bites.
These might not make it till 4. I'll tell you that.
This is horrible.
These are the snack of 2024.
This
I'm telling
is crazy.
You, little bites.
These are just absurdly delicious.
They're really good. There it is.
Thanks, James.
We love little bites.
Both of you guys bringing holiday joy on a day when the Kings don't.
Trying our best, man.
We don't let them mess with our vibes.
No.
At least we try.
I'm going to be good at 4. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be good. Jesse and them would know. Well, you guys might not be happy, but, you know, I'm pushing forward through snowfall. I'm good.
Nice.
But before 4, or at least before 2, they got to get these hands, these verbal hands.
That's fine.
This is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Kyle, you got to open yours.
Okay. And you open yours. I've decided I'm starting a tradition.
Look at the beautiful.
Oh, yeah. A tradition like no other. More flannel.
New York Knicks flannel.
And that's a beast, too. That's a heavy
nice.
Ass flannel.
That is nice.
A heavy ass flannel. Nice.
Hey, that's so funny. That's Isn't it? Really is this nice. A box I gave you last year? That's so funny.
That's the point.
That's so funny.
That flannel is nice, man.
It is. It's really nice. I almost bought myself one. And James and I can match.
What we got?
Oh, hell yeah. We got, I got another Ham family card.
Yep.
Shout out to the Ham family card. Beautiful.
Oh, and then
family.
A little,
this is a special.
What time it is. A little bottle of Basil Hayden.
It's a red wine cask.
Oh, the red. Edition. Aged in a red wine cask.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's
going to
be delicious.
One. Yep.
I'm cracking that open tonight.
And the box that your family's been trying to get rid of forever.
Yeah, it's back in the family.
I sent it back
to
you.
That's a great bit. That's a great bit. That's very good. That's a tremendous bit.
Can't wait. Well, thank you, guys. This is delightful. Thank you for dropping in.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you both. What do you guys got coming up?
Well, apparently a cranky-ass Kenny. I was just going to put my feet up and have fun for the next 4 hours because, I said, I don't give a crap they suck anymore.
Yeah, we can get some
they
fun.
Stink. I'm going to go answer phones for Gavin. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh.
Wake up call, 106.5. What would you like to talk about? I ain't going to talk about this sorry-ass basketball team for another 5 years. This team sucks.
Lock in, D'Lo and Casey coming on. Oh, we're the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us this year. We will be back January 2nd right here on ESPN 1320. Until then, everybody have a safe and happy holiday. And until January 2nd, 2025, drink water and be nice to people.
Tis the season.
Shout out to the king.